Hey, welcome to another episode of Grow or Die, where we believe that as a Christian, if you're not growing, then you're dying. We need to be ones that are growing every day within that of our knowledge of Jesus Christ. My name is Pastor Scott, and this episode is a part two to one that we did back in January. I did a podcast that I would encourage you to go back and listen to if you've not already. And the title of that podcast is Your Home a Child Run Home? And as the world we live in today, that seems to be more and more often the times. And so as I had parents listening to this podcast, I had people, I had parents that was texting me, emailing me, calling me, telling me, hey, so my home is a child run home. Now what? How do I fix it? What do we do? And so this is a part two to that. And we will be coming out of the book of Deuteronomy. So if you have your Bibles, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And as the podcast begins, this was done on a Sunday night with that of our church. And so I hope you enjoy. I hope that it gives you some wisdom that is needed. And I pray you have a blessed day. We're going to the book of Deuteronomy. And as we go to the book of Deuteronomy, I've asked the ones upstairs if they could just put up a real quick picture and kind of give you a background as to what we're doing and why we're doing where we're at tonight. And so as you're turning there to Deuteronomy chapter 6, tonight what I want to do is I want to talk about that of a growing family, or is that do you have that of a dying family? There is an aspect for both. There's a family that would be growing. And when I say growing tonight, I'm not talking about a family that grows in numbers, because although that's wonderful and that's awesome. And someone asked me today as I was carrying a little guy down from the balcony, they said, oh, so you got another one. And I'm like, oh, man, that would be great. We'll put another one in that Suburban. There's nothing better. I'll tell you the best way to do it. Buy a big car and then just find a way to fill it up. You know, that means if you can't have another one, just go adopt one. Go get one for the weekend. Ebenezer has them all the time. So when I talk about a growing family, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is a family that is growing spiritually, a family that is growing spiritually, a family that is Christocentric, a family that is Christ-centered, and that family being Christ-centered, I would say today, is not one that you can go buy a book off the bookshelf and you could say, hey, this is how your home needs to be, because I think a lot of times we get caught up in that. We see someone else and we think, man, I want my family to be like that family. And the problem is that family is not like your family. They're different people. There's different types of likes and dislikes. There's different types of ways of learning. And so you can't go make your family look like their family. What you need to do is make your family a family that is Christ-centered, and it's growing the way that Christ would want your family to grow. And so today, though, I do believe we have the difference of that of a family that is growing, but we also have families that are dying and they're unaware of it. There are families that are dying, and the families that are dying, they're dying because their homes are child-centered. They're not Christ-centered. They're a home that is centered around that of the child. They let the child make the choices, and they let the child run the home. And so therefore, what happens is when the child gets to be 18, 19, 20 years old, and the child then moves out, the home is dead. Because now the child is gone. It was centered around the child. It was not centered around that of the growth or that of the center or that of Christ, that of God's word. And so what happened was, is a couple of months ago, I did a podcast. And I want to tell you, we work hard on these, y'all. I promise you we do. It's called Grow or Die, and it's an asset to you, not an asset, it's a service to you. What we decided to do is we just start recording everything we do. So upstairs, as Colt is teaching, Colt's recording what Colt is teaching. And anytime that I teach something, I try to record it so that we can make it to where you can listen to it while you're driving your tractor, or you can listen to it while you're running your sewing machine, or you can listen to it. And so this one sparked a lot of questions, and it's called, Is Your Home a Child Run Home? And so as my parents were listening to it, or as I had some grandparents that were listening to it, they came to me, and that's good. They came to me, and as they came to me, they said, okay, so yes, we have that problem, but now what? So you've identified the problem. It's kind of like going to the doctor, and the doctor's saying, hey, we have found the problem. The problem is you drink too much coffee.
And so the problem has been identified. And so now what do you do about it? Well, you stop drinking coffee. And so now what I want to do today or this afternoon is I want to take the opportunity to be able to give an answer to what is the answer for that question. What or where do we go from here? And I'll tell you, I've done a lot of praying, done a lot of searching, and it's amazing. I didn't have to go to a Lifeway bookstore, although those are not around anymore. I didn't have to go to Goldian's and find a used book. I didn't have to go I didn't have to go and look on the bookshelves that's in my office. Really, all I had to do was open up the Bible. And really, listen to me, parents. Listen to me, grandparents. That's all you have to do as well. All you have to do is open up God's Word and let God's Word be what gives you the answer to what you need. Because it's God's Word that will not misdirect you. It will not misguide you. God's Word is a Word that is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hebrews says in James chapter 1, it's the engrafted Word of God. It's God's Word engrafted within my life so that it would guide me in whatever it is that needs to be guided. And so the answer is this, it's the Bible. The Bible is the answer. Our homes are either growing in the Lord or they're dying in neglect. They're either growing in the Lord or they're dying in neglect. And listen, there's no cookie cutter solution. There's no quick help. And see, the society or the world that we're growing up in today, y'all, most of our homes, we would not know what to do if the microwave was broke. It's popping in the microwave. Give me something 3 minutes. Give me something 30 seconds. And man, I'm ready to go. Hey, you ready? There's no way. Don't bring out that popcorn machine that you got to put the popcorn kernels in. Nope. Give me a bag. Throw it in the microwave. We want it quick. We want it now. Pastor Scott, we need the fix now. How do I fix my family? And it's not quick. It's not going to be easy. Not all homes operate the same, but I will tell you this, but all homes should be Christ-centered. And listen to me, ready? But not only in words, but in deeds. See, it's one thing to say that my home is a Christ-centered home. It's quite another, you ready, guys? It's quite another to let it be seen in the deeds. It's one thing. Listen, I think it's wonderful if you have devotions at your house. I think it's great that you have afternoon devotions. But if your afternoon devotions don't have any fruit within them, then it's all it is just another religious deed that you're doing. It's just another thing, another checkbox that me and my family do. Because what happens is it's no different than that of coming to church. We come to church, we come in, we look nice, we look cute, we look pretty, and then, you ready, guys? And then we go home and nothing's changed. Because why? Well, because Jesus would say it would be like the Pharisees, and that is you're a bunch of whitewashed tombs. We're a bunch of whitewashed tombs. We put on the appearance that everything is good, but in reality it's not. And there's no routine that is the right routine or not. What we need to do is look at what God's Word says. So I will tell you that when it comes to that of the problem of a child-run home and not a home that is Christ-centered, the root problem is the parent's heart. I promise you, it is not the pastor. It is not the pastor's problem that your home is not Christ-centered. It is not, listen, it is not the youth pastor's problem that your child is off the rails. The problem comes from that of the parent. It's the parent's heart that needs to be the focus. Where is your heart? And what happens is many times, and I got it just this week, Pastor, I need for you to talk so-and-so into coming to church. If I have to talk your child into coming to church, your child is not going to want to be at church to anyhow. Why make me the bad guy? Why make the pastor the bad guy? Why don't you be the parent? Why don't we be the parent? And why don't we parent according to the way God's Word would want us to parent? And so I will tell you the root of the problem is this, as I've already said, it's the parent's heart. And so tonight what I want to do is I want us to look. We're going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 6. So if you found your place in God's Word, I'm going to read. And what I'd like to do is just read from that of verse 4 to that of verse 9. So if you'll stand for the reverence of reading God's Word so we don't get out of routine of that, and then we'll get started. Here we go. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I commend thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt, look at all the shouts, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign and upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and upon thy gates. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I am thankful as a pastor that, God, I can stand and I can boldly proclaim, thus says the Lord. And so, Father, I pray tonight, we are all here, Father, I as well. Lord, none of us has a perfect home. But Lord, we all are at different stages. We're all at different places. And so, Father, tonight I pray, may you speak to each one of our lives. Father, I pray, may our grandparents not excuse themselves from that of this time within your word, because they too have a hand in that of teaching their grandkids. Father, I pray those that may not have children, Lord, may they not excuse themselves from tonight's lesson, but that, Father, may they tune in and hear how they too can take part in that of raising this next generation. Father, we all have a place within this. We are the family. We're the church family. And so, Father, I pray, may we take tonight and we hear what you've got to say. May we apply it to our lives, and may we live a life that is Christ-centered. May we point our children and our grandchildren in the way that is true. And may we not just point, but may we also lead by example. And Father, we'll give you the glory. We'll give you the praise for it all. And all these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. The Word of God says this. In Deuteronomy, here's what's happening. He's coming out. And as he's come, there's my daughter calling me. Isn't that sweet? My Molly. It's been fun. It's tough though, y'all. Any of y'all that had kids go to Snowbird, it's just tough. But y'all be praying. She's on that card. It's a good thing to do. But what happens is you have the children of Israel. They're coming out. They're coming out of the wanderings. And in Deuteronomy 5, God has given the law again. He's given the law again to that of Moses, and he's telling Moses, Moses, I want you to tell this to your people. I want you to tell this to my people. And what he does is when you get to chapter 6, verse 1, he says these words. She called me on accident. So sweet. As parents, that kind of stinks sometimes too, because you think you're important, but then you get an accident call, and then you're like, I'm really not that important. But it'll be okay. Now these are the commandments. Notice this, verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, all of them. The word there, the word commandments, is actually singular in chapter 5 and verse 31, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that of Moses, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord, reverence that of the Lord, Yahweh, thy God, to keep all of his statutes, his commandments, which I commend thee, thou and thy, notice this, y'all, thou, the parent, thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well. There's two promises. One is a prolonged, and that it will be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Look at the promises that's given to that of a home that is willing to do what? To obey the commandments, to obey the statutes, to obey those things, those judgments that God has given to the children of Israel. And you know what I love about this? Is that many people say, well, you know, Pastor, that's the Old Testament. We're a New Testament family. Well, we cannot forget that it would be Jesus that would say the same things. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Hey, you ready? And then love your neighbor as yourself. That's the Ten Commandments. And so now you're a New Testament family that's an Old Testament family, and it's just one big family. And what happens is we lose the fact that right here he's saying, listen, as a parent, we need to be parents, grandparents that are doing what? That are loving what it is that God teaches them. We love the commandments. I find it amazing. I was listening to Adrian Rogers one day, and I don't know if it's good to listen to people that are dead. All right, and so Adrian Rogers said these words. I find it amazing. You ready? We get so caught up in our homes today When we get so torn up because they don't have the Bible in the schoolhouse no more, or they don't have the Ten Commandments on the wall anymore. Well, my question is the Bible open in your home, and do you have a Ten Commandments on your wall at your house? Ain't it crazy how we get upset about those things? It's almost like we're always about pointing at somewhere else, but we're never willing to look at ourselves. And as the people that were listening to this podcast, as they were listening to it, man, they become convicted because they knew, hey, listen, my home is not Christ-centered. And what happens is they lose the sight that Jesus said. God said these words in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God." Listen to me, parents. We, grandparents, those that are much wiser individuals within our church today, we need to love the Lord our God. We need to love God not with just our mouth. We need to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And listen, we could have a whole sermon about those three things, but what we need to understand is it talks about the whole body. It's the whole body that needs to love, that needs to be saying, not just saying, but also showing that we truly do love God. I find it amazing that in my years of student ministry and that of pastoring, that you have all the excuses as to why they don't want to do that. Yeah, pastor, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Yeah, pastor, yes, I love the Lord. And then I would say these words, and I would say, well, then why don't you discipline them? I had one parent tell me this. Y'all, it blew my mind. I had a parent that looked at me and said, well, I will tell you this. As I was a kid, I was disciplined. And I said, well, man, you turned out pretty good. That's pretty neat. And then this person looks at me and says, well, you know, we just decided to do it another way in my home. And I'm looking at this person and I'm saying, wait a minute, your kid's in fifth and sixth grade and your kid is off the rails. Why not do it the way that your parents had done it? Hey, listen, I'm thankful that I had a parent. Listen, my parents, while they're not perfect, man, I had a dad that did not mind disciplining me, and he did it with love. I'm not here to say it's okay to beat your children. That's nonsense. That's stupid to go down that path. What I'm saying is that we would be individuals that love God so much that we would want our kids to see how much we love God. And you ready? And you show that by the way that you discipline. Another parent told me this one time. A parent told me as I was telling them how it was that you could go about making this thing right, and I said, this is the best way to do it. If I was you, this is what I would do. And the parent would look at me and the parent would say these words, well, I want to be their friend. I want them to love me. And I would say, listen, you need to understand something. That right now, you don't need to worry about them being your friend. What you need to be worried about is what happens when they turn 19 and 20 and they run from your home because of the chaos, because of the no discipline, because of the hypocritical actions. You would go to church on Sunday, you would talk about loving God, but then the home, it was completely different. You would come to church and it would be all order. It would not be chaotic. But then when you get home, the home would be chaos. Church, that's not a home that is Christ-centered. A home that is chaotic, a home that is chaos, is not a home that would be that of Christ-centered. You say, Pastor Scott, is your home always perfect? No. No, I had four girls. Yeah. And I'll tell you, I to be just plain honest with you, there's days that it was just, I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. Lord, I just need you. And you ready? And I just prayed believing that the Spirit of God would speak for me. Because at the time, man, I was in the midst of, I don't have a clue where I'm at. You say, what do you mean? Well, there's seasons in life. There's those seasons of the cop stage, and there's the seasons of that of the coach stage, and then there's the counseling stage. And the problem is when you have parents that their hearts are not sold out to the Lord. What happens is when you get to the counseling stage because you didn't do the cop and the coach, then what happens is you try to give them wise counsel and they don't want to hear nothing of it because your cop stage and your coach stage was completely hypocritical. Church, I'm going to encourage you. Listen, I've got a 9-year-old all the way up to a 22-year-old. I've got all stages right now, all right? And I will tell you, there's nothing that I rest my head better on the pillow at night than to know that as I share with my adult daughter, as I share words of wisdom, that you ready? That whether she listens to it or not, it does not matter. I know that I know that I've shared words of wisdom, and I know that she's seen it displayed in front of her within our home. And you ready? And I sleep well at night knowing whether she does or whether she don't. It ain't my fault. But what would concern me is if I had a 22-year-old daughter and that I did not do the things I needed to do. And so therefore, now I've got a young lady that has seen a hypocritical dad or a hypocritical parent or a hypocritical grandparent. And now, you ready? They're not going to listen to the wise counsel, although it's wise counsel. And you ready? And then you scratch your head and you wonder why they'll listen to somebody else but not you. The heart of the home begins with the heart of the parent. The heart of the home begins with the heart of the parent. In Galatians, don't turn there, if you'll just take my word. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible tells me that you and I as believers, we should be walking in the Spirit and abiding in His Word. The Bible tells me not only should we be walking in the Spirit, but as we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. How do we walk in the Spirit, church? Well, I will tell you how we do that. We have to stay in His Word. If you're not in His Word, you're not walking in the Spirit. You need to be in His Word daily. You say, Pastor Scott, do you do that perfect every day? You know what? There's days I have not. You're right, I have not. But you know what I have to do is I kind of like you have to lean on yesterday's message. And so therefore, it's yesterday's message that got me through it. But then when I fall on my face, at least I recognize the fact that it was my fault, not God's fault, because I didn't start my day off the way I should have. In Ephesians chapter 5 and through in chapter 6, I love how Paul, he gives the application to the church of Ephesus. And in chapter 5, he says in verse 2, that my life should be like that of Christ's life, a sweet smelling savor unto the Lord. Our lives should be that way, whether we're whatever stage we're in parenting, whether we've never had kids or not. As a believer in Jesus Christ, He's called us to do that. As elders within our church, as the older generation within our church, our younger generation, they need that, church. They need that sweet smell and savor. They need to see that within us, not just within the side, these six walls. One, three, four, five walls. Not just in these five walls. What we need is we need individuals. We need parents, Christians. We need ones that are sold out for God. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Adrian Rogers said this, you show me where you spend your time and your money, and that'll be where your God is. I find it amazing that we have to beg. Listen to this, parents. We have to beg for these sheets to be filled every year. When we have a church that would have almost 500 people on a Sunday morning, but yet we would have to beg. Listen, you're like, but Pastor Scott, you don't understand. This parenting thing is tough. No, I do understand. I'm right there with you. I'm right in the midst with you. Take what God has gifted you with and let your kids see you in action. I'll never forget a Remus Church. I've talked about him before. Remus Church was an older gentleman within our church. Remus, they did not have any kids, him and Hetty. But Remus would be one that would be by example. Remus would come alongside. Remus would be there on work days. Remus would be there on the front row of the church. Remus, as the preacher would be reading the scriptures, Remus would be not looking at his Bible. He'd just be reciting from memory. Why? Because he was a man that was sold out for God. He was a man that loved the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. He knew, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10, 11, and 12, he knew the battle's real. Church, the battle is real. As parents, we need to understand. As grandparents, we need to understand. As a church, we need to understand. Hey, the battle is real. There is a demonic force that wants to destroy your marriage. There's a demonic force that wants to destroy your family. There's a demonic force that wants to destroy our children. I believe when it says that we need to put on the whole armor of God so that we may stand firm in the evil days. I believe every bit of that. I don't think Paul was wasting his breath, and I don't think the Spirit of God was misguiding him, because I believe both to be true. And so in that fact, then, he tells us to put on that breastplate, put on those shoes, put on that belt, put on that helmet, pick up that sword, grab that shield, and let's go fight. Why? Because I want to make sure that I'm a Christ-centered home. And as a Christ-centered home, a Christ-centered church, I want to be very aware of what's getting ready to go down in my house. I don't know about y'all, but when you go to bed at night, it drives me nuts not to have all the doors locked. There's sometimes I'll check the door 3 times. I don't know how you are, but you're like, Pastor Scott, that's a little overkill. Hey, I just want to make sure that I'm safe, okay? But I'm going to protect that home. I'm going to protect it. I'm going to protect the physical. So why would we not want to protect the spiritual? It's all about the heart. And so when we talk about this child-run home, we talk about these homes that are being run, not by Christ, not be centered with Christ, but that of a child. I'm going to go back and say it one more time. The root of the problem is the parent's heart. We go back. I'm going to take the blame. I'm not going to pass it off on someone else. I was sitting in a seminary one time, and as I was sitting there, Dr. Whipple was teaching about that of sharing the gospel. And I began to blame Goshen Baptist Church for the reason why of me not being able to share the gospel. And he looked at me and he said, "How dare you, son? The Spirit of God that lives in you is the same Spirit that lived in the preacher that was preaching at that church. And you know what? It's your fault that you don't know how to share the gospel." We need to learn to take blame. We need to turn, not turn to be the victim. No, it's me. It's my home. I'm going to take charge. We look at these emphatic statements when you start talking about those things. Not only is the root of the problem the parent's heart, but we also see that we've got so much child-centered and we have so few Christ-centered. So when you take your Bibles, I'm going to go to the book of Joshua. It's a very familiar passage. Joshua has gathered the children of Israel back together and he's given them a challenge. Now, you ought to read the whole chapter, his farewell address to here to the children of Israel. And I find it amazing in Joshua chapter 24, in verse 15, many of us have this hanging on our walls, but to just hang it on our walls doesn't mean anything. Listen to what he says. He says in verse 15, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." I say the same to you as well. I have to choose. I have to choose today. Who will I serve? I wake up in the morning. Who will I serve? I wake up the next day. Who will I serve? Me as a father, me as a husband, me as a pastor in a church. Who am I going to serve? Do I serve the gods of this world or do I serve? Because watch what he says. Whom do you serve? The gods which our fathers served and that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites? In whose land ye dwell, but, and I love this, I underline it in my Bible, but as for me and my house, it's an emphatic statement. He's making a declaration, and it's a declaration that he just almost like drives a stake down in the ground. Are you ready? And you ain't taking me nowhere. Right now, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It's kind of like Daniel in Daniel chapter 1 in verse 7. He says these words, "I will not eat the king's meat. I will not." And he's emphatic with his statement. He's not loose with his words. He doesn't say it without understanding that there's a great work that comes with it. Serving God is not easy, y'all. Having a Christ-centered home focused on that of the home and that of the church, it is not easy. It is work. Service is work. He says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It's a statement that's with purpose. Your home, listen to this, your home will serve someone or something. Your home is serving something. I never thought of that. Your home is serving someone or something all the time. A Christ-centered home is a home that is with purpose and is principled. I don't know about y'all, but I love coming to church. Could you imagine coming to church and maybe me just standing up? Oh, we almost did it tonight. Me just standing up and me began to preach while Winston's trying to sing. You would be like, man, this place is chaotic. And then all of a sudden, Michael gets over here and he begins to play a tune. I don't know, we'll go "How Great Thou Art," but we ain't even singing "How Great Thou Art." And then over here, yeah, and then Jimmy jumps up and he says, "Well, I'm just going to play a tune as well." And so Jimmy's playing a tune, I'm preaching, and then y'all decide, you know what, we'll just come down and we'll join in. And then some of us begin to jump the pews. Then we begin to speak in tongues. I don't know, we'll go that far. "Now, Pastor Scott, how dare you?" Well, we'll go there. Like Pastor Chris said this morning, that's another message. How chaotic. We would say, this is nonsense. I'm not going back there. That's how our homes are, though. You see, a home should be Christ-centered. A home, according to that of 1 Corinthians, don't turn there, verse 14, or chapter 14, verse 33, we serve a God that is not a God of chaos. We serve a God that is a God of order. I will be honest. Listen to me, church. You would not believe how many kids I talk to that they love rules. They love rules. Kids love rules. They love to know where and how far they can go. They love rules. You'd be amazed. I was serving at a Christian school, not here in town, one at another county. And I was teaching along with two other teachers. And as I was teaching along with the two other teachers, I don't know why I was this way, y'all, but I was just like, I'm just going to follow the rule book, all right? I know, right? Student pastor, follow the rule book. Don't make no sense, but we're going to go there, okay? I just decided I was going to follow the rule book. The principal said, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. The other two teachers, they had decided that they would just do what they want to do. And so there was the battle. You had one classroom that was not chaotic. You had another classroom that the phones were out. You had, hey, you ready? You could turn a paper in 2 weeks late. You can turn it in. Hey, you ready? And still get an A on it. And hey, let's just let it be let the kids rule. Only to find out that one of the kids would tell me while they were there, I hate your guts. I'm like, well, thank you. I appreciate that. I was a little aggravated. I don't like people to tell me they hate me. I mean, but you're right. But they hated me for the right reason. Only to find out that it was about 6 months later after this young man had graduated that he calls me at about 10:30 at night weeping. And he is apologizing. Mr. Townsend, I am so sorry. I did not realize that you had your best interest for me. It was the other two that did not have their best interest. And I'm sorry, Pastor Scott. Mr. Townsend is what I was known as. Parents, I want to tell you, ready? They love rules. They really do. Now, they're going to buck them. Hey, but you do too. Today, I'm sure you drove over. The rule says drive 45 over here on this road. Many of you rode 65. So see, you break rules too. And what happens is, you ready? What happens is our homes, they become less purposeful. They become less principled. They become a home that is not a home of service. They become an emotion-led, unstable home. Emotion-led, unstable. It's emotion-led. It's led by the emotions of the kids. It's unstable. It's chaos. Christ isn't the center at all. Christ is the afterthought. I don't know about you, but have you ever been around to where you see someone, they say, hey, do this, do this, do this. And then what they try to do is then they throw in a verse. And you're like, why would you throw the verse in now? Why wouldn't you be teaching the verse in the good days, not just the bad days? The Bible says, thou shalt not lie. You shouldn't lie. You know what's going to happen? It's going to come down on you. And you're like, but why couldn't you say that to him in a good voice on a good day while you're riding down the road? You know, the Bible tells us, my sweet child, that the Bible teaches us that we should not lie. Did you know that? And then you could have a conversation. And then you're ready. And then they could also learn to watch you, because as they're watching you, they would begin to see that, wait a minute, I see that my mom and dad don't lie either. It's kind of funny, though. Sometimes you'll see students and you'll go, why do they lie all the time? But then you look at the parent. See, it's a learned behavior. I know, listen, it's wonderful to come to church. It's wonderful to sit in a pew. But listen to me, not to practice it at home is you being a hypocrite. It's just playing the stage. It's playing the part. And so what happens is we now have a home that's being led by our emotions, and we have a three-year-old pitching a tantrum in the Walmart toy aisle, as I said on the podcast. And you know what? The kid leaves Walmart with that toy. You're like, yeah, but Pastor Scott, they was real embarrassment. Yeah, you just wait. When you make that decision, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, there's going to be a lot of tantrums. And it'll be okay, y'all. It's good things, I promise you. It's never too late. I told that to someone the other day. They said, hey, I really felt like I've dropped the ball. And I'm like, hey, there's never a time too late. What you do is you say, I'm sorry. You know what? I dropped the ball, Johnny. I dropped the ball, Sarah. I messed up. I want you to know today, we're going to do things differently. See, that's good. You owned up to it. Isn't that cool, parents? No, but see, we don't want to do that. The parent's position. Watch what happens. I love this part in Deuteronomy. There's a position. He says this, verse 7 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. He says, and thou shalt teach them diligently. Teach what? That of the commandments of God. That of the statutes of God. That of the word of God. We're to teach it to them diligently. You're the leader. You're the parent. You're the professor. It's pretty cool, right? You can be the professor of your own home, because that really is what it is. It's a schoolhouse. And you're the professor. You're the leader. You're not their buddy. I promise you, they don't need no more buddies. Buddies are wonderful and buddies are great, but they really need a parent. They need someone that is setting the rules. They need someone that's leading the home. They need someone that is more mature. A child should not be in the position of running the home. And what happens is when you're the leader, when you're the parent, when you're the professor, you're teaching these things diligently. You're teaching them, you're modeling them, and listen to me, and then you're repeating it over and over and over. And listen, what's so great about it is that when Johnny messes up, little Johnny, 9-year-old Johnny, what you do is you go ahead and you correct him as a 9-year-old. You correct him as a 5-year-old. You correct him as a 3-year-old. So that when he becomes a 13-year-old and you're out on the floor and you're coaching them, you're showing them how to work out life. You're showing them how to use the things that you taught from that up to like 9 or 10 years old. Now you're working alongside. They already know the rules. It's kind of like playing, hey, ready? Wouldn't it be fun to play a baseball game with no rules? That makes no sense. Oh, hold on. I know a football game with no rules. No, that's crazy. You have rules for a reason. We teach it. We model it. But what happens is, church, is we find ourselves doing passive parenting. We put a gadget in front of their face. We turn on a TV. I'm going to tell you, when me and Melanie was younger, Olivia, we were guilty of that. Dora the Explorer was wonderful on Sunday mornings. It was great. I'm telling you, you cut Dora the Explorer on, and you could just set her right down on the couch, and she just, enthralled with Dora the Explorer. And then you go get ready for church. You're like, is there really anything wrong with that? No, I don't think anything wrong with that until the time that that's all that they do. It's kind of like this. Again, we're not perfect parents, I promise you. Please do not. We don't leave here from that. I want to leave with just encouraging that we want to be a Christ-centered home. Hey, you ready? We'll get in the Suburban. The Suburban's got a TV in it. I'm like, that's cool. I would like to have one of them when I was a kid. All right, nothing fancy, I promise you. But Mia would like to say, hey, let's turn the TV on as we drive from church or from the home to the church. I'm like, that's crazy, kid. We ain't watching TV. We watch that thing when we travel an hour and a half somewhere or 2 hours. No, not for 15 minutes. You're like, yeah, but Pastor Scott, that keeps them from crying. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, it's not doing them a good deed. Passive parenting leads to a cultural takeover. I love that. I read that. Passive parenting leads to a cultural takeover. Our homes are being taken over by that of the kids, by that of the world. Do you know how you can fix that? Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hey, don't be conformed to this world. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We ain't doing that. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. No, we ain't doing that. And you know why I know how to serve the Lord? Because I've been in His Word today. I'm going to hide its word in my heart. I'm going to let it be a lamp into my feet, a light into my path. I'm not going to be a passive parent. I'm going to be a parent that's engaged. I want to see my kids grow up to be an asset to society. Now listen to me, church. I think you can take it too far, though. I think you can really take it too far to where now you're lording over them with God's word. I do. I think you've got to be careful with how you use it. You don't beat them in the head with God's word if you're not going to teach them on that sunny day as well. The child's position would be one that would fear the Lord. Children are called to learn, not lead. Kids need boundaries. They need love and authority. They need discipleship. Listen, not just discipline. They need discipleship as well. We don't just need to wear their hind end out, although that's good, yeah. We need to discipline them as well. My dad talked about that yesterday. Anybody that was with us, there's only one time I can remember my dad not whipping me when I needed to whip him. And we get in his room, and he says, now listen, I'm crying, y'all. Listen, I can put them on. I had little chubby cheeks, and my name was Scooter, and I'd be like, Daddy, please don't whip me. Please, Daddy. And I gave it on it that night. I knew he was going to wear my honey now. I knew it. He said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Every time I hit the bed with the belt, you're going to scream. Okay, Daddy, I got it. And he'd hit the bed. And when he did, I'd go, oh! And then when I got done, he looks at me and he says, and he hugs me. And he says, I love you. And he says, don't you say it. So I get in the room and my brother's like, dude, he hit you like 3 or 4 times. I'm like, I know, dude, it wore me out too. You know, you're like, that's lying. I know, but I didn't get my honey beat. All right. We need to discipleship, though. We need to disciple them. Listen, I want to tell you, church, we really did put a lot of work, and we continue to put a lot of work in our Grow program. We really have. And making it into an app form, because I know all of you got phones, we've made it easy for you. You can download the app, South River app. You can click on the link, and it's there. You can teach your kid the attribute of God. You can teach them through that of the song, a hymn that would teach them the attribute of God. You've got the scripture there. You can teach them that. You're the professor. You're the leader. You're the parent. Grandparents, you can do the same as well. Because why? Well, because I want to tell you something. Ready? While I do believe we ought to do discipleship here at this church, if you're not discipling at home, you're really missing the mark. It needs to start at home. It needs to start with you. You're like, Pastor Scott, I'm just not learned enough. No, that's not true. You need to open God's word and quit making excuses. Elevated kids equal entitled and insecure kids. We don't need to elevate them. The outcome, there's either you have a growing family or you have a dying family. A growing family loves God, lives in the word, leaves a legacy. A growing family loves God, lives in the word, and leaves a legacy. When I thought about that, I thought about my grandmother. Now, while not everyone in my family, on my mom's side, not everyone is just faithfully following after that of God, but I do believe that there's some scripture where it says in Judges, and I'm going to go over there. You can turn if you'd like, but I'm going to turn. In Judges chapter 2, the Bible says this, and this is what you would not want. This is not what I want for the Townsville family. In Judges chapter 2, in verse 10, the Bible says, and also all that generation were gathered into their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord. Another generation that knew not the Lord. You're like, yeah, but isn't that the job of the church? No. It's the job of the parent. It's the job of the parent. It's the job of the grandparent. It's the job. Listen, you go over into that of Timothy. It's the job of our older women and our older men within our church. The older men and the older women within our church, you should want to teach those younger guys. You should want to be teaching those younger ladies. Why? You've got the wisdom. You're in the word. You're being guided by the word. You should want to speak life into them. Find it amazing. I was at another church one time, and I had some kids riding skateboard out on Wednesday nights. And I had a deacon look at me and say, hey, listen, you got to do something about them kids riding skateboard on Wednesday nights. And I'm like, well, why don't you say something to them? You saw them. I'm in here trying to deal with something else. And I wasn't very nice, but I said it. I'm almost that way. He said, well, they won't listen to me. And I said, well, it's a shame, because you're a deacon of the church. They should. They should respect you. They should reverence you. But why would they not? Well, it could be the family. It could be the parents' fault. Hey, it could, I don't know. But listen, church, what we've got to realize is that I don't want to be a part of my family, my Mia, my Molly, my Carly, and my Olivia. I don't want them to go that next generation and they not know my God. I don't want my grandkids not to know the God that I serve. Not because, listen, not because I want them to be in a clique or that of a cult. No, I believe that God is God and God is the only God, and it is the only way for them to spend eternity in heaven. I want my grandkids to go to heaven. I want my grandkids to know about heaven. I want them to know about Jesus. You know how your grandkids are going to know that? By you teaching it to your kids. And if you've messed up, then what you can do is you can begin to teach it to your grandkids. Find a way. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So we examine our hearts daily, church. We recenter our home. Our home needs to be Christocentric. And I want to tell you, that's a word that I had to go look up and spell. Centered, Christ-centered. Centered around all that we do. I make a joke at home. It shouldn't be a joke, but I do. Like one of us will start eating our food and we'll go, you're going to choke on that and die? And you're like, really? Y'all really that legalistic? Well, no, but I want my kids to not just go, pause. Let's give thanks. Let's be thankful that God has provided our bologna today. Let's be thankful that God has provided whatever it is that is laying in front of us, because it is God that has provided. See, that's a reminder to my 9-year-old who is the great I am. Who is the God of this universe. Who is the God that gives? We reclaim your God-given role as a parent. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Listen to me, dads. I want to encourage you. It is your job to do that. It is your job. It is not your wife's job. It is your job to reclaim. It is your job to be emphatic. It is your job to say those words. As for me and my house, it is not done in a way that is not loving, though. In Ephesians chapter 5, it does tell me that, yes, wives submit to your husbands. But it also says, husbands, love your wife like Christ loves the church. Don't miss that part. Your wife ain't going to have a problem, one, with you saying, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, as long as you're doing it also. She sees it already in your life. You say, Pastor Scott, I'm a single parent. Then do it. I'm sorry. Then you do it. If you're a single dad, if you're a single mom, then do it. Do it for the sake of your children, for the sake of your grandchildren, for the sake of those that other children that are within our church. Realign your child's role in the home. And I promise you it's going to take time. If you've got 13 years of just chaos, I tell people a lot of times it may take 13 years to get out of it. They're like, wait a minute, Pastor Scott. That's where you got to. But at least you'll be found faithful in that of making your home a Christ-centered home. And hey, you ready? And I would rather do that now at the age of 13, at the age of 9, at the age of 8, than to wait till they're 19 and then come to the pastor and ask the pastor to do something about it. No, you do something. Do it now. Do it while you have breath. Do it while you have life. Take that charge. And lastly, I'll say this. Don't be a noisy gong. Don't be a noisy gong, grandparent, parent, those that are leading within our church. You say, what do you mean, Pastor Scott, a noisy gong? Well, it's just someone that can rattle off scripture but then show no love. Listen, there's a lot of people that knows a lot of scripture, but I want to tell you something. You as a parent, it would be better for you not to say anything at all if you have no love within that of what you're sharing. Don't be a noisy gong. In the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he's talking about love there. Listen, we must show love. It's an unconditional love. But listen, there's nothing worse for a parent and that of a child than for you to be someone that knows how to rattle off scripture, but yet you don't ever disciple them. They never see you lead. They never see you lead by example. They never see you serve. They never see you do anything as far as reading God's word. They never see you anything more than just what? Waking up Sunday morning, coming to church, going home. Waking up from your nap on Sundays, coming on a Sunday afternoon, going home. Coming on a Wednesday night on occasion, and then going home. And there's nothing different about your home. Nothing different about your life. So I say these words. What is the answer? What's the answer to that of, is your home a child-run home? Well, the answer is the Bible. The answer is the Bible. It's found in the Bible, and that is this, is that we need to have parents that are loving the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Loving them. Loving God that way. And when you love God in your whole entirety, and you're ready, I know that it was brought up in Fred's class, so I'll bring it up also. You ready? Could we ever truly love him with all our heart, soul, and mind? I'll tell you this, probably not, but I'd like to die trying. I'd like to die trying. Was David a man after God's own heart? Sure. But you know what, guys? He messed up as well. I'd like to die knowing I tried to love thy God, my God, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And I promise you, listen to me, when you do that, things are going to change. Things will change. It'll be tough. But when God is in the center of it, there's great things that will take place. All things work together for good. The tantrums, that we don't want to do that no more, the whatever. All things work together for good to him who are called by his name. And they love him. Listen, it's all good. Christ-centered. Sold out for Jesus. As for me and my house, that's speaking for Pastor Scott. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And if I'm serving the Lord, it's a Christ-centered home. Father, we love you and we thank you for our day. We thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. Father, I pray may we all have a desire to have a growing family. Father, may we all have the want, Lord, to have a family that is growing. Father, may we not be the ones that are looking over to another family and saying, I wish my family was like that family. Father, may we just be thankful for the family we have. And then, Lord, may we pour into the family we have. Lord, may we work. May we understand that it's work, it's service, Father, being that of a leader, that of a professor, that of a parent. Father, there's nothing easy about it, but Father, there's great rewards. Father, I love seeing some of the parents that are now have kids that have got their kids. Father, to see how they're growing, to see how they're Christ-centered, see how, man, Lord, it's a blessing unto me. And Father, that should be what we would all want to desire. That's what we should all want. But Father, if we're going to want it, we're going to desire it, we're going to have to work. Lord, we need you. Oh God, we need you. Father, may we be people that love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. And Lord, may it not just be lip service. Father, may it be genuinely said, thought, believed. And Father, may it be revealed in the fruit that we produce. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and glory for it all. And all these things we ask in Christ's name.